It's November the 6th, 2010. For National Podcast Post Month, this is Description Daily.
Hey, so it is not May 2009 quite yet. It's February 2010. But I'm approaching the Native Canadian Center. Here's why we're in February first. Because back then, of course, it didn't really have to be May for me to do this, but the sound, yeah, I screwed up the sound for the soundseeing tour of the Native Canadian Center, but it was only really bad outside. So, and unlike the thing I screwed up of Woodstock, New Brunswick, wouldn't have to travel a day and a half on a train to get back there to retake things. The Native Canadian Center here is not even 5-10 minutes from where I live, so I could come back. So I'm redoing the beginning of the soundseeing tour here, and then you'll hear when I'm inside in May, it'll be better, but you'll get some little indication of some of the sound problems I may have had, but it'll be very slight. While out here, they were like constant, so I've adjusted myself for once, and here I am. So, we're at Spadina, on Spadina Road, which is north of Bloor, and I'm standing in front of the Native Canadian Center now, and it's basically an old school. Dark red-brown brick, medium size kind of school. It kind of reminds me a bit of Kingsville Elementary back home. But, you know, iron-paned old windows with white sills around them, frames around them, and, you know, pretty old school, as it were. And stepping up a hill a little bit here, a few steps here to this first kind of level on top of it's not really a hill, it's a little bit of a hill, around me this front area is different kinds of sidewalk material, and what kind of indicates that, yeah, Native Canadian Center, besides a couple signs here and there, a sign for handcrafted gifts and the Cedar Basket gift shop, which you'll hear from later, and saying Native Canadian Center of Toronto, Toronto's Aboriginal gathering place. There are a few little indicators in this small courtyard in front of where we are. On my right, and I am facing the door, the street is behind me, on my right is a totem pole, buttressed, would that be correct? I don't know, stabilized by a steel girder. Totem pole is about, it's about two stories high. The building itself is kind of 2.5 stories high. It's like there's two stories and then there are these peaks on top. Okay, so on the right, you've got a totem pole, not painted or anything. It's this plain, dark wood that has been, I think, darkened with age, grayed by age. And bricks kind of around the bottom, in the floor. And here on the left side is another circular brick kind of deal. This is a thicker circular brick kind of deal. And it's around a flat disc. Well, discs are supposed to be flat, aren't they? And it's in four quadrants, this disc, painted four different colors. Going clockwise, you've got white, black, red, and yellow. And it's about, you know me and diameters. It's about about a yard, to use metric, it's about a meter in diameter, and it's made of wood, and on either side of it are these rope handles. So I believe it can be lifted up. Well, I know it can be lifted up because I've seen times when I've walked past here around dusk, I think. Not every day, but I think this might happen every week. I'm not positive about this. But I think that disc is covering a fire ring because I've seen walking by, don't want to say a campfire, but a small fire. I say possibly not a campfire because what they're burning, I don't believe is entirely like the regular wood you'd have in a campfire. I think there may be other things involved. But yeah, I believe that disc with its four colors is covering a fire ring. I'm not going to pick it up to find out. And I should note, there's kind of an iron short fence bounding either side of this courtyardish area. And I'm here on the left side of it. And I'm reminded that later I'm going to make reference to some dancers. Because when I first arrived here, I noticed that there were a couple richly costumed native dancers who came out of one of the two side doors that come out of the side of this building and came down stairs and went into a minivan. And I think I make reference to them later. I think they were performing here and I just missed them and they went off to another thing. Okay, now that I'm done being on the left side, in the center, as you approach the doors, which are, you know, your typical old-time double schoolhouse doors, wood, you know. But in the sidewalk, as you approach it, right in the center, is the word Ahneen, A-H-N-E-E-N. I still don't know what that means, and I should look it up. But that's in the sidewalk, spelled out in these little, sticks, but they're metal. And they're dug into the sidewalk. And so you go over that, and you go up a couple steps, and you go through those doors. And, oh, by the way, on top of the door, I didn't notice this before, but on top of the door, over the door, you know, like a typical school archway, you know, it's like a fair bit of, like, you know, stone, concrete kind of decoration and stuff. And up on top is an open book that says, "Holding Forth the Word of Life." It's a quote from, I can't make that out, Phyllis, it's a Bible quote. It's left over from this old building. Also, it has the hours, not on part of the thing, but I mean right beside the door. It has the hours, and there's two signs. On one sign, it says, "Smoking is not permitted within the front entrance areas, thank you." On the other side, it says, "Please respect Mother Earth and put cigarettes in ashtrays provided. Thank you, Miigwech." Miigwetch. Okay, so that is the front of the Native Canadian Center. And now we'll hand off to me in May 2009 for tours open of me going inside the Native Canadian Center.
To find out more and to subscribe, go to descriptiontoronto.com.